Quickly turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things that do appear. Now, let me just read it in the closest way from the original text. We could say, through faith we understand that the ages, that word world means dispensations in time, ages. So we have different dispensations in time, that they were framed, in other words, adjusted or brought into completion, right? Adjusted, repaired by the word of God, which is the Rhema, which we explained, so that things that are seen were not made or assembled, which means by things that appear. So when you have a dispensation in time, when you have an age, it means that a person, all right, you could say that, let's say from 2017 to 2020 forms a particular dispensation in your life. And that dispensation came about through God giving you his word that was fulfilled in that three-year period. So if you are talking to a person, you say, well, during this dispensation from 2017 to 2020, these are the things that I assembled in my life by the Rhema that God gave me. So this Rhema was fully fulfilled after 3 years, and in this dispensation, I assembled all of these. In other words, a person can tell his children, well, I assembled this business, and this is what happened. Then I entered into another dispensation in my life from 2020, and that dispensation lasted 4 years. And all these things, that dispensation was characterized by this particular word God gave me, and these are the things that I assembled during that time. I adjusted that period. That period, all right, was brought to completion, and these are the things that were assembled during that period within my life. So I want to look at how we, you know, give birth to different dispensations within our lives, which means time periods that are characterized by definite things, which means that during this time period, these are the things that were brought forth within my life. The Bible tells us to every season, to everything has its season, or every season we can say has its thing, and then every time has its purpose. So during that time period, there is every given time period, God has a purpose that he wants fulfilled within your life. He has looked into your life, and your life is demarcated into different dispensations. And in each dispensation, there is something that God wants, right, to come out of your life or come into your life. So if he looks at your life and says, you'll be on the earth for 80 years, he says, well, I have these things in certain dispensation. All right, there was a dispensation from 2010 to 2013. From 2013, there was another one to 2017. And different dispensation characterized by certain things that are assembled in your life from the word of God, they come out of things that do not appear, which is God's word. Now, I want to start out discussing this from, all right, the book of 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us this. It says in verse 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, in other words, got us born again, unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So through the resurrection of Jesus, by that we got born again, and we now have a living hope. And what's that? An inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Now, so it tells us that we got born again as we got became children of God. We entered into an inheritance, right? The Father has left an inheritance for us. And this inheritance is kept in heaven. That word heaven means heavenly places for us. Last week we gave an example, I can reiterate using that. That if a person, let's say, works in an office, and then he sits down in the office, it's a big multinational, big corporation. So the corporation has a massive warehouse. Let's say the warehouse is about 20 times the size of this building. And in it, they've stockpiled, all right, all stationery and office, all right, supplies for the people that are working in the office. So they bring them and show them the warehouse. And they look at it and they just see countless. As far as their eyes can see, they see things stockpiled inside that warehouse. So they tell them, you can go to work now. If you have any need while you're working, just understand that you have everything that has been supplied. All you have to do is to send us the authority a mail, and they will bring out of that vast supply, you've seen it here, into, all right, to your desk. And so he leaves and goes to work without any consciousness of lack. That it is not possible that while I am working and on duty, I will lack anything that I need because of what has been laid up in store for me. This is the same thing God is telling us about life. That you have an inheritance the minute you got born again. The Father's inheritance that he has laid up for you. And it's all reserved in the heavenly places. And as you go through life, right, needs will come up. And anytime you have needs, walk with this consciousness of an abundant supply. That Paul spoke about this, it's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he said, God will supply all of your need according to his riches or his wealth in glory by Christ Jesus. So as you go in life, and if you have any need, understand that the same way that man at the desk will send a mail, if you send a prayer, the supply will leave the warehouse and it will come to you. And so understand that. That as you go through life, right, anytime there is something that needs to come into your life from heaven, it will be signaled by a need that you are going to have on the earth. And once you see that need, fear not. Understand that it's an indication from heaven that another dispensation has started in your life, and therefore make your request, and from the inheritance will come the supply, and you, all right, will enter into the next level. Now, this is what Paul came to understand. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I wish that this need never came. You know, I pray that I will never get, I wish just take this thing away as though it never happened, like a bad dream. And God said, listen, get it. My grace is sufficient for you. That if we take away the needs, your life will have no meaning. My grace is sufficient. Through your weakness shall my strength, or in your weakness will my strength be made perfect. Paul said, I get it. So I'm no longer, you know, intimidated by my needs. He said, I now take pleasure in necessity. I take pleasure in infirmities. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. Now I heard Joel Osteen tell this, all right? Okay, somebody told him this, all right, as a story, probably happened, all right? But he talked about a gentleman who said that he got caught up and God took him on a visit to heaven. But he paints the picture accurately. And he said when he got into heaven, All right, he met with Peter, and Peter said, I want to show you something. And so as they were walking, took him to a place, and there was a very long corridor. And to the left and to the right were rooms. And there were names of people on the doors. And he kept looking and seeing names. He didn't know them. He said, what's this? He said, just keep walking. He said, then he got to a particular door, and his name was there. And he said, what was it? He said, Peter said, open the door and go in. And as he entered into the room, he saw like shelves, and he saw gifts properly wrapped, and they were all packed around the entire room. And he looked, and he only saw two gifts missing. And he said, Peter, what's this about? He said, in your lifetime on the earth, God had planned to give you all these things. But you see, you've only received two of them. Your entire life was to be a manifestation of all these gifts. You got to the point where the need arose, and you had in your heart, and then go about it the right way, for something to be dispatched from heaven right into your life. And he said, I get it. He said, so when you get back, understand that you have gifts from heaven stockpiled here, and God yearns to get it across to you. Now, that's why Jesus said we should not pray like the heathen. God knows what you have need of before you ask, but what you should be praying for is his kingdom. Now, if we read on, he now goes on and says, who are kept by the power of God? So God preserves us. All right, many of us, where people live lives and they're just kept by God, but they don't get into the salvation that he has planned. It says salvation that is ready to be revealed. And this salvation means that anytime you get, as Paul said, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus according to my next expectation and hope. Everything must lead, all right, to salvation, not just preservation. God doesn't want us preserved. He wants to reveal things in and through us. So he says, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes. This inheritance is more precious than gold. All right? The Bible says that it is not subject, undefiled, and does not perish. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though you seem not yet believing, you rejoice, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now it says of this salvation, so instead of just preservation, it says this salvation, the prophets who inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. And when they searched, when they were prophesying, they started searching. Now these words, we don't understand them. And they searched, all right, for what? Number one, the content, and what manner of time, the timing, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And then it was revealed unto them, that not unto themselves, but unto us, did they minister these things that are now reported unto you by them who have preached the gospel by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now, if we quickly go to Second Peter chapter 1, not chapter 2, Second Peter, chapter 1 and verse 16, Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, which means this inheritance is not cunningly devised, these are not cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came a voice unto him from excellent glory, saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven you have heard while we were with him on the Holy Mount. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you will do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawns and a day star rise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. So it tells us that we should take heed unto the words of the prophet as a light that shines in a dark place. So when we get into these dark places or points of need within our lives, God says that he wants to send a prophecy into our hearts that will explain to us what is going to come out of that particular situation. So as Christians, we are called to interpret our various experiences through which we are passing in the light of the prophetic word. In other words, when we are going through things in life, as Christians, we have an inheritance. The Bible says at one time we were without Christ and without hope. That is, without this inheritance. So you could say I'm in a hopeless situation. No Christian is in a hopeless situation because it says you have an inheritance. Once you get into a place of darkness, every new day starts with darkness, midnight. There is a light that God has tailored for that particular situation, which one of the prophets, all right, hundreds of years ago spoke about your life. It is contained in the scriptures. And God wants to show you the scriptures that fit into that particular situation in exact terms. And what will happen is what will be the resultant effect, all right, or the result that will come out in your own life, right, as a person. So what God wants us to do is that we should fellowship with him when we find ourselves in this kind of situation so that we can seek out his kingdom response to it, which means what is heaven's response? So Jesus said, don't just manufacture a prayer, right, and just ask about your needs. Your needs are speaking, right, to something that is much bigger. That is, Abraham had a need for a child, but he was speaking about a nation. The kingdom's response to it was, a father of many nations have I made thee. There is the big picture that is described in the word of God. If you can find what is termed the Rhema, and the Rhema is that significant passage, that portion of the scripture or verse, which seems to leap out of the pages of the Bible into your heart, that describes your situation and what will be the outcome. That is God's revelation to you. That's what Peter said, as a light that shines in a dark place. So he said, if you seek this kingdom first, this revelation, and the revelation begins to operate within your life, all these other things shall be added unto you. So that loss of job is not just about, you know, some other tiny job somewhere to replace it. There is a kingdom response to that particular thing. It's the beginning of something, a new dispensation within your life. And God says, I will start that by giving you my word, and then you will take heed unto it until the day dawns and the day star rises inside your heart. So he says, through faith, we understand that dispensations came into existence by people receiving this Rhema. So the word entered into Abraham, and a dispensation was born. Something changed on the earth. The word entered into Moses, and a dispensation was born. That we can see a time period marked by certain events. The word entered into Jesus, and a dispensation was so powerful that time was permanently marked. And anytime a person says, what is the date? You'll say, well, it happened 1945. You're saying 1,945 years after, all right, the death of Jesus Christ. So what entered into him was so powerful that it marked time that way. And he's saying what he wants to bring into your life should mark. There'll be demarcations in your life. Now look, this dispensation, right, started at this particular point in time. So there's a kingdom response to this, and it's not difficult. We should just have our priorities right, that when I find myself in a situation, I look to God. You know, yesterday I was watching on and off the match, And I heard, you know, when I listen to things, I want to learn things. So I listened deeply to what one time what the commentator was saying. And something struck me. You know, small things can open the door for real big things, right? Little afflictions, things I just felt were there. This is what Jesus was saying. He said, there's something behind that. There's something out of heaven that wants to come into your life. And the commentator was talking about the first time Arsenal played Chelsea. And he said, Arsenal was leading 3-0. And Conte, the Chelsea coach, changed the formation of Chelsea on the field in order to contain more goals, which meant that he felt Arsenal was going to score 6. So he said, in order to avoid this, he changed the formation. And he said, in changing the formation to stop Arsenal, he discovered the real formation that works. And he started playing that formation, and the minute he changed it, he played that. Now, what he was trying to do was to contain goals, but he stumbled on the right thing that brought the league to him. Which means that a small affliction where you think you are dealing with something that just happened in 2 weeks will change your entire life. Are you following what I'm saying here? He changed the formation and said, that's it. And then they played the next 13 matches, they didn't lose one. So what happens is that you think that's what Jesus is saying. He said, look, don't pray like the heathen. The heathen just look at it and make a calculation and say, well, this is what we're going to pray about, and they start praying. He said, don't do that. Seek ye first the kingdom. This kingdom, he's saying, is seek the entrance of God's word. Seek the kingdom of God's response to it. What is heaven saying? What are the scriptures? He said, look for that. That will describe. And these scriptures are so powerful that they will describe even every emotion that you are going through. And it will enter into the deepest parts of your heart. Like a two-edged sword. It will speak directly into your situation. And the truth about the matter is that the outcome it will describe, all right, you will pull back because it will require faith for what he's telling you will come to, all right, will happen. For it to actually happen, you look at it and say, look, this tells me about what I'm going through. This explains what just happened. I can see it in the Bible. But what God is attaching to this thing is much bigger than anything I could have conceived. And he says, through faith, we understand they started adjusting, all right, that dispensation there. All right, it went from one of being negative, they adjusted the dispensation. One word says they repaired the dispensation, right? It started out with some crisis, but they repaired it. They restored it. They brought it to perfection by the rhema of God so that things that we now see in their life were assembled, which means they assembled those things by things that do not appear. So they assembled those things, right, from the rhema that they got. So how do you assemble? Is what I just quickly want to share on here. So once you get the word of God there, and you have God's word, all right, then what you want to do is that you want to do what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 7. It tells us that if you abide in me and these words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Now you can make your request and ask for anything you will, based on what he has shown you, which means now come and pray, all right? Ask for what you will. Let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Come and pray unto him. And he says, but the condition is keep these words in your heart. Keep these words there in your heart. Let them abide. And we've explained how these things abide, right? That you, all right, constantly meditate upon them, that you don't allow this book of the law to depart, okay, so that you don't forget, you don't be a forgetful hearer. But let me just share something, two things about this I spoke about in the midweek service. First of all right, David said something. He said, I meditate upon your statutes in my night watches. Now, when they talk about watches in scripture, these were definite, there are 8 watches. All right, in an entire day, 12 midnight, 3 a.m. every 3 hours, you have what is called a watch. Okay, 6 p.m., then you have 6 a.m., then 9 a.m., then 12 noon, then 3, and all of that. So David said that at night, what he will do is that he will meditate in the night watches. So David said, at 9 o'clock, I will withdraw myself and take the scriptures, the things that, you know, characterize that particular dispensation that I'm believing God for certain things. And I will, you know, I'll just sit with those scriptures and I'll meditate on those scriptures. And I'll meditate. Now, he could read other scriptures, but when it's time to meditate, he'll just meditate on those scriptures. Then he said, at 12 midnight, I will get up and then I will meditate on those scriptures. Then at 3 a.m., I will get up again and then I will meditate on those scriptures. Now, this shows you the pattern. And this man understood how to believe God for things. So they will meditate, and David will meditate. I mean, there's no way you can do that and have bad dreams, all right? The word of God begins to get on the inside of you, talks to you, keeps you when you are asleep, talks to you when you wake up. And we need to start coming to this. Growing up as a Christian in scripture, pastor, he told us, keep 3 watches every day. He'll tell us, you know, in the morning you pray, in the afternoon between 12 and this, keep that watch. In the evening, keep this watch. And we had an organized way we believed God, which means that we've said this is like taking medicine. There's an organized way. When they say take it 3 times, they're saying take it during 3 watches here in the morning. There's an organized way so that the substance of that medicine is always in your system and the level doesn't drop. Because once the level drops, it stops working. When Moses' hands were down, all right, Joshua began to lose. If the word of God, the level of God's word drops in your heart beneath the place where it ought to be, then things will stop working on the outside. So there's a level, and the way they kept that was by structuring their life, all right, and meditating during the watches there.
Thank you for listening.